So, we're in the middle of a fast, and hopefully you can't tell. The Bible says to not let anybody know. You don't put on sackcloth, you know, do this kind of stuff like they did in the Old Testament, right? But no, we're joyful. We've gone through 1 week so far, and whoever's joining with us in this and however you're doing it, there's an opportunity to not move God, but to move our vision of God. Amen. And for us to be able to see him better. Amen. And so, I'm sure we could have testimonies right now of people where you're at in this, but it's an opportunity that we have. And we set our hearts. Amen. We set our souls and we speak to ourselves and say, this is what we're going to do. And so in the middle of this, God gave me this message that we began a couple weeks ago, and then we began to expand on it. And I just want to do this through this fasting time. And because a lot of times when we think about going before God, we've got all the list of things that we want, you know, and we're wanting to receive things, you know, and God's a giver. He likes to give. We just talked about asking. Well, it's a big part of it. But remember what Jesus said. He said, you shouldn't be concerned about any of the things that God's providing for you. He clothes the birds, you know, or he provides for the birds and he clothes the flowers. And, you know, it's all these different things he already takes care of. He said, if you'll seek what? My kingdom first. That means you put a priority somehow, right? He said, if you'll take care of my kingdom. And then when you that word kingdom, you think, well, what's he talking about? And so we've been discovering what that is because it's talked about multiple times in the New Testament, especially. Remember before he went to the cross, he kept saying, my kingdom is near. There's a kingdom that's near. Well, that speaks of more than just a person. It speaks of and we looked at this, it speaks of a king. And we're not used to kings, but we're used to, man, we're getting a big change coming up on Tuesday, or on Monday, I guess it is, isn't it? And we're having and it's going to change everything, isn't it? Because all the directives, all the, you know, the Bible says the nation that has a righteous king is blessed, right? And so the nation that doesn't have a righteous king is not blessed. It can have the opposite, right? So everything comes from him, and then it affects the territory that he influences, right? So Jesus is talking about this. He's talking about a kingdom that's going to have a king, and it's going to have an area that it influences. It doesn't influence everywhere. Did you know that the kingdom of God is on the earth right now, but it's not experienced by everybody? Because there's a place that you have to go. You have to go beyond the veil. You have to let some things go on the other side of that veil. Because you're going to go to a place that's not of this world. Jesus said that to Pilate, didn't he? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of another world. So you have a king, you got his territory, right? And then you have his ways. And this is a big part of a king. If they don't have any way of doing anything, they're just useless, aren't they? In fact, the rulers, like in Rome, were part of what caused it to fail and to fall eventually. It's because they didn't have a clue. They degraded and they corrupted. But when you have somebody in charge that has some ways to get things done, there's hope, isn't there? So when Jesus comes along, he says, there's going to be a kingdom. There's going to be a king. There's going to be a territory. And now, for any of that to work, you got to comply. You got to come in alliance with his ways. And we're going to talk about that today. Next week, we're going to talk about his people. Because it takes all of that for a kingdom. He says, if you're going to seek these things, you're going to seek the kingdom, it's going to be these things, right? So what we did last week is we sought the king. It was a good time. Did you enjoy just worshiping him, amen. Oh, we have a king that we can come to boldly, and we don't deserve going there at all. He's a holy God. He's a wonderful Savior, amen. But he invites us to come because of what he's done for us. He's enabled us to come, puts clothes of righteousness on us that, that we didn't earn at all. And he makes us able to come right in, because this is critical. You cannot be a part of his territory without being joined to him. You have to be connected to him. Amen? But here's what happens, and we're going to look at this today, that the closer you get to somebody, the more honor you begin to give to somebody, the more you shed skepticism, the more you shed doubt. You don't just get them. You get what they're about. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it just happened to. But it worked, right? So here's what happens. You begin to see, and you know what? It doesn't do any good to worship God and to worship Jesus and not begin to care about his preferences. You know what I mean? It's going to change your every moment. That's what he wants to do, is he wants to change our every moment to where he's not just a king, but he's our Lord. Amen? He's not just the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. That means his ways are accepted and they're taken on. Amen? So I've got some scriptures from the Old Testament, the New Testament. I just want to dive into this. Aren't you glad we don't have to lean on our own understanding? That in all our ways we can acknowledge him. And how do we acknowledge him? Well, we go to his word. Amen? We say, what does he have to say about this? And I want to get revelation of that so that I can align with him. Here's one thing about going somewhere with somebody, and I think I wrote in, we have a daily devotional with this on our website and in our app. I don't know if anybody's been following along or not, but it's a blog, and I'm just doing a devotional every day, and there's some confessions you can go along and you can make. They're statements that are made from Scripture that you can speak over yourself. And then I've been putting a little song. I like to write songs. And so they're just demos, but you know, I do them in my office in here. But they're really special. And so I'll put one of those at the end of each one of those. And my wife let me know, I didn't even know that you could hear this. And I just assumed that you saw that there was a hyperlink associated with that word. But anyway, if you click on that song that I have at the bottom, you can listen to some, it's kind of associated to, man, we need to be passionate about Jesus, don't we? We're letting go of some other things, right? So anyway, I welcome you to join on that, and because there's things that are relevant to everything else that we're studying right now that you can join with. And I got kind of diverted in what I was thinking when I started talking about that. But pursuing what he wants and what he desires, it's really hard to go anywhere. And I was thinking about this with the kingdom. If you're going to have a king that you're joining with and you're going to be a part of and you're going to follow, you have to be in agreement. And one of the blogs that I wrote on used that scripture. It said, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" You can't walk with somebody if you're not agreeing where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. Is that right? Because you can have the same destination in mind, but if you don't agree on the route, my wife is a route person. She loves, I just trust GPS. You know, it's like, whatever Apple says, we'll go with it. My wife, no. She's looking at all, you know how they give you like four or five different routes, you know. Just, oh, I think this is a better one right here. So we get there together because I agree. Right? It's like, that's what it requires, doesn't it? And, you know, once we come into the kingdom, God has a destination for our life. You know, it becomes very significant what he has planned for us. But what must happen is we have to come into agreement. And we must realize right now, he's not changing his mind on anything, is he? So if somebody's going to change their mind, it's going to be us. Is that right? We're going to have to change. And so it's a good thing, though. It kind of hurts at first, you know, maybe. You like making all the decisions. But, man, once you learn to trust in God, once you learn to realize that what he's got is worthwhile, Amen? So we're going to look at that today. He's got some ways for us, and they're not far from us. Actually, we receive him, and we've already got him. It's just a matter of yielding to them. Amen? All right. So I'm just going to go through here, and let's read our scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So that's what we've been looking at. We want to seek the kingdom, and we're not used to what a kingdom is. So if we're not careful, we just go on with whatever we're doing and say, yeah, that's what I'm doing. But we're not, right? So let's go to Psalms, because God actually thinks a lot about us. He has thoughts about us, you know? And I think it's just something good to have revelation of. Right now, God looking down at us, and this is part of the amazing thing of him. It's like, God, right now, you're thinking about me, and you're thinking about some Nepali that's climbing the mountain, you know? All around the world, this is how amazing our God is. And he doesn't prefer one over another. Is that right? There's significant thoughts. Okay. Psalm 40 verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful thoughts which you have, works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be counted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Which thoughts? Thoughts towards us. Now, when we start thinking about that, it's like, so what kind of thoughts is he having? Is he like really disgusted with us, or, you know? We got so much cool technology going on today, all this AI stuff, and it's incredible how much information. But when you think about our God, he's the one that actually designed us in the first place. And so when he designed us, he had a purpose for all of us. And I'm thinking, so when he's thinking about us, he's thinking about what we can do, what he's designed us to do, what our possibilities are. Is that right? Now, this is why he hates the things that are keeping us from that. You know, sometimes we can feel like sin is something that he just hates us for. No, he hates sin because it's keeping you from what he's planned for you. Is that right? He's not impressed with our sin. What he wants is us. He's impressed with us. And his thoughts are good thoughts for us. Amen? They're thoughts for us to prosper, to go somewhere, to be good. Amen? And so, man, we have to understand that right now, God has a thought towards me. And either it will be effective or it will be ignored. Most of the time, God's thoughts towards people are completely ignored, right? So what do we have, though? That's why Jesus said you have to seek this. You have to seek the king, first of all. You have to be impressed with God before you're going to do what he has for you. So you have to worship him, or it's going to be slavery, right? Even when you find out what he has for you, if you do it because you feel like he's making you do it, it's slavery, isn't it? That's why you have to worship him. Give him your heart. Now, whatever he asks of you, you're doing it because you love him. Is that right? Amen? And then when you get close to him, now you're going to say, okay, what do you want me to do, right? Okay. The king's way only comes from him. Let's look at Isaiah 55:8. And this, you know, this is a big challenge, especially since we got these things. How many like to look at reels, like to look at, man, they keep coming up with other things for us to look at, don't they? You know, stories, and everybody's getting on there, and what do they like to do? They like to pontificate, right? It's like, tell you something like it's the truth just because it popped up into their brain and they're smart. You know what I mean? It's like, And there may be some truth. There may be some things that are, you know. But when it comes to how you're going to build your life, are you going to build it on a real or on the creator of the one who enabled somebody to make a real? Right? Okay. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. He's not being arrogant. He's not being snide. But he says, just get over it. Your thoughts, if it's coming from you, it's nothing like what it can be, right? Says the Lord. And my ways, don't you like this? So he has some thoughts. And when God's thinking thoughts about us, I believe he's thinking ways for us. Says, I want to make a way for them. Amen? But they're going to need to receive that way and walk in that way. Is that right? For just, let's see where it was, are far beyond anything you could imagine. You can't imagine these ways. That means you're going to have to seek him for them. Amen? For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, I know we can say that, and we can say, yeah. But let's really get a handle on this. If that's true, then I'm going to really need to go to him and do something with his thoughts. Maybe replace them with mine. Or replace mine with his. Boy, that was scary, wasn't it? Right. Don't you quote me on that first one. Okay. All right. So in order to do this, God began to have a relationship, and he began with Abraham, didn't he? He began to bring somebody that he could have fellowship with, he could communicate with, somebody that was impressed with him enough to do what he said. Because God came up with some things for Abraham to do that did not make sense, did they? To go out into the wilderness with nowhere to go. And Abraham could have said, well, it didn't sound like a very good idea to me, right? But because he had a relationship with God, because he believed in God, he said, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, right? And hundreds of years later, it's amazing how these, we can't put a time clock on God's ways, can we? We can't say just because something hasn't happened like we'd figure it should happen. Well, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He needs the right people in place. He needs he's always developing something. I like this song we sang this morning that said, God is doing something. He's doing something right now. Amen? But it's not according to our thoughts or our plan. It's his plan. Is that right? And so if we're going to seek his kingdom, we're going to have to seek his plan. And so he began to come up a way with for his kingdom, for his ways, these thoughts that he's having towards people, his creation, to actually be received and put into place. And he began actually with Moses, didn't he? He found somebody else that he could talk to, that would listen to him and respond to him. And he was able to actually take the whole nation of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery, to begin what he wanted to do, to establish his ways in man. Okay, and so what he did with Moses was give him the law, right? What was the law? It was slavery, really, to a certain extent, because you had to do all these things in order to get to a place in God. Is that right? So, but what God was doing was saying, okay, I found some people, and you know, there might have really been a purpose for them being in the wilderness for 40 years beyond just all them dying that didn't want to go into the promised land. I believe that they had to become cultured in the thoughts of God that were given to them in the law. And you know, the law, I'm so grateful we have a new covenant beyond that, and we're going to look at this. But what was the law? It was God's thoughts that would enable man to not just live according to his own thoughts. Is that right? You know, I can't just kill somebody because I want to, right? I can't commit adultery. I can't. It went way beyond that. In fact, there's a Talmud that just takes it to the nth degree. And that became religion. It became something beyond what God's intent was. But his intent was to say that if you will comply with my thought towards you, no matter what you happen to think about it, it's going to produce in you life. Is that right? So that's what God began to do with the law. He said, I have to get my thoughts into them somehow. And he began to establish that. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 5:32 said, therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. What is that? There's a thought that God has that I'm going to have to not just know what it is. I'm going to have to comply with it. Is that right? You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. He says you can't. There's no margin here. You have to be. And this is why it was such an impossible thing. This is why we have to have Jesus, right? Because it was impossible. And yet, it was a revelation of thoughts of God, right? Of his ways. He's revealing his ways. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. This is God talking. Is God trying to put something bad on them? He's trying to bring life to them, isn't he? Said, so everything I tell you, he said, if you'll take everything I tell you and not vary from it in the least, and this is how critical this is because the thoughts of God for them to work have to be put into place and completely replace everything else. You don't get an option with them. Is that right? Is that what he's saying? He said, and if you will do that and you won't turn to the right or to the left, you will have life that you cannot have anywhere else. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like a kingdom. God's coming to establish a kingdom. That's what he was doing. And you know when he was in the wilderness, and again, I think, what was he actually doing in the wilderness besides just letting people die off? He was establishing himself as the king. You know, when later on the people started crying out for a king because they wanted to be like the other people, you know? Did you know that offended God? Because he saw himself as the king. The kingdom required him to be the king. Now, they would anoint, you know, they would anoint Saul, they'd anoint David, they'd anoint other ones, and God would, it was God involved, but he needed for them to have him still above them. Is that right? And that's how they fell apart. It's like you can't be following after a man alone. You have to be following after God. So what God was doing in the wilderness was establishing a kingdom. He was establishing himself as the Lord. And the ones that made it into the promised land were the ones that had been cultured in this new kingdom. Is that right? They were given this way of God. Now, again, it wasn't a perfect way, but it was a way to say, okay, God says something, I can walk in that. And what it enabled them to do was eventually go into the promised land, something they could not have done before. Is that right? So, this is God's heart. Kingdom things are God's heart. It says, I need to be the king, and then I need you to come into my territory. I need to come in to where I am. Amen? And there's a place that Jesus has made for us that we can come into there. He says, but when you get there, you're going to need to honor me above every other deity in your life. Every other crown has to be cast down before me. Amen? Because there's a way. There's a way of the kingdom that you can't deviate from and expect to stay in the kingdom. Now, you can still have a name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're not going to operate in the kingdom. You're not going to be able to have the blessings, the promises. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Are you encouraged yet? Okay. There's hope. Let's keep pressing on here. Deuteronomy 30:16. This is just a little bit more of this. All his ways. And what I like about this, it kind of says the same thing, but if you'll watch what it begins with. Let's look at this. It says, "For I command you this day to what? Love. Love, 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 love. The Lord, your God. And to keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will have, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy." Sounds to me like he's establishing a kingdom. Is that right? But what I like about this, and this is the one that Jesus comes back later and draws from, he says, what is the greatest command? To love your God. Because that's the one that's going to carry over into this new covenant that we have now. Is that right? Amen? And what he's doing in this, and this is why he prefaces this, is he says, it's not about becoming a slave to God and to this law and to feel like you can't do it and to feel condemned. How many know that somebody that's bound in an addiction, just to tell them to stop it, to point it out and tell them to stop it, does that help? It exacerbates it, doesn't it? It just makes it to where something they can't even handle. And that's why. But if you give them another passion, if you give them a way and you show them that there's another way for them to go to, and don't just bring condemnation. Is that right? There's an answer for people if they can go to another thing. Right? And that's what he's doing. He's saying, first of all, become impassioned with the King. Amen? So much so that you're letting go of everything else that would keep you from serving him. Everything else, you know, I wrote about this, I think, yesterday, I believe. But, you know, trying to find examples of this. And I was thinking about young men. And it used to be this way. I don't know if it is so much anymore. But when people would volunteer for the military, they were volunteering for a cause. And that with a commander-in-chief, that they were going to serve above anything else. Is that right? And what did they do when they signed up for that? Well, it's interesting. You go back and watch. Man, they get their hair cut off. They could have, like, long hair. They give up their identity. They give up their security to go give their life or to offer their life. You know, for what? Well, it comes from an executive, ultimately. But not just an executive, a cause. And so what they had was the draft. I had to register for the draft still. I was kind of at the end of the Vietnam thing. But they, if you conscript people, they're still serving, but they might not have your heart. Is that right? But when you volunteer, you've given your heart to the executive and to the cause. Is that right? And that's what Moses is talking about here. He's saying, first of all, give your heart. And then everything else that he gives you to do, it will be done out of joy, out of passion, rather than out of slavery, obligation. Is that right? All right. And this is the key. Because this kingdom we've been called into that Jesus came to give us is one that's all about your heart. Amen? And there will be, it will look like some things. But it's not about the things as much as it is about the King. All right. Let's go to Jeremiah. Are you liking this Old Testament stuff? All right. God's kingdom plan for his ways, okay? So what's really cool is they begin to prophesy about this change in the Old Testament. I mean, this is validated long ago, right? But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel. So he's already made one, right? And what is his purpose? To establish a kingdom where he's the king, where we're doing the things that he wants us to do, right? After those days, says the Lord, I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. Isn't this cool? So what he's saying, I'm not just writing it on scrolls anymore. Where am I writing it now? On hearts. Isn't this good? I will be their God, their king. And they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Isn't that amazing? What is he saying? We're going to be able to have a direct connection to the king. Now, when we get there, we're going to be among some others. That's part of the plan. Amen. A kingdom isn't just a solitude. Kingdom is things that we do together, right? A big purpose that we have together. All right, let's keep going here. So this is prophesied. There's going to be a change. God began with Moses, but he said there's going to be a new covenant where it's no longer just stuff being coming from the outside. It's going to come from the inside. Isn't this cool? Our king's voice with his way. So look at what Isaiah says about this. This is, so he says there's going to be instruction that is actually there, not for you to go and look at a book. You know, this is what my opinion of lawyers. I'm sorry, is there anybody that's a lawyer? We're about to have a family member that's a lawyer, right? So I can't do this too much, but my impression of lawyers and even doctors sometimes is they actually know where to go look for the answer more than have the answer. You know what I mean? It's like they have a library of information that they can go draw from. Now, I know that they should have a lot internal. But even when it comes to things of God, it's not enough to have a library where you can know and go to look. I'm so grateful for the Word. But I'm so grateful that he puts it in our hearts. Amen? So there's something in the time of need, we don't need, have to go to our library. We go to our source on the inside. Amen? And he speaks to us personally. Gives us direction. Let's look at this. Isaiah 30:21. He's talking about this new covenant, right? Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. That sounds like kind of what Moses was saying. Don't go to the right or the left, right? Vary from this, right? And he said, there's going to be a voice that's actually going to speak to you, and it's going to be a voice that's in your heart. Here's part of the challenge of all this information coming to us on reels and social media and everything else. What is the truth, right? I actually wrote a song. You can go look it up on my YouTube. It's like, truth. All right. How do you know? Well, there's a voice on the inside of you that will confirm if you're abiding in the kingdom. Amen? If you've given your heart to the king, there's a witness on the inside that he sent that's going to confirm what is truth and which way you should go. Is that right? Aren't you glad God gives us this direction, gives this promise? Praise God. All right, let's look at John. Let's get in the New Testament. In Christ, God's expressed will in his way. So what do we have in Jesus? And it's interesting because, like we were saying earlier, creation didn't happen by just a thought alone, but it happened by words. It happened by expressions. And this was the difficulty with even God's thoughts towards us right now, until they get into expression. until they're heard. We don't have revelation of them, and we can't walk in them, right? Even though he has all these thoughts towards us, until we're aware of them, until the light bulb goes on, and we become, just bear with me, truly woke, till we wake up to his truth, amen? Until that happens, we can't walk. And you know, people that are deceived, walking in lies, they truly believe that. They truly believe because they haven't had revelation. It hasn't come to them. God's thinking thoughts that are true and a plan that's for their life, but they're not going to see it until the light goes on in their spirit. Amen? Okay. So John 11:4. And he's talking about Jesus. And he says, Jesus is the Word. Isn't this really, have you ever called somebody a word before? Well, you probably have, but it wasn't just the Word, right? It was a Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Isn't this interesting? So what is a word? A word brings revelation, doesn't it? A word, even as I've been talking, and I've been talking about different things, you visualize. Everybody has their own vision that they put around words that are spoken, don't they? Right? And there's a revelation of God, of his ways, that requires a word. It's going to be a word from God. And John calls Jesus the Word. That means it's going to be the revelation. He's going to be the revelation of God's ways, of his will, of his thoughts towards us. Man, this is good stuff. All right? Keep with me. Stay awake. All right. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So God's new plan was to send his ways through a man instead of through a parchment. Isn't this good? And what he did for us was allow that revelation to become inside of us. So the kingdom he was coming to, he kept saying, there's a new kingdom coming, there's a kingdom coming, there's a kingdom coming. What was that kingdom? It was the kingdom of him being a king that doesn't reside somewhere else, but resides on the inside of us. Amen? But you don't get the whole kingdom. You don't. This is why you have to seek it. It's because it's not something that's just right there. I mean, you don't already have it. You can't assume to already have it. You have to say, okay, there's more to get. There's so much more. Amen? All right. All the kingdom's ways have love associated with them. And I'd like to look at it like the secret ingredient. Okay? Because sometimes we can say, all you got to do is love. You know, we can write a song, all you need is love, blah, 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 blah. And it becomes just like way too simple, right? I just have to have like a good feeling towards somebody. I just have to like have warm feelings. But don't you know what they did towards me? And you know. And this is why the love that is the new kingdom is not something. We have to go back to what it said. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His love is way higher than our love. And his understanding of it is. Because it isn't a warm feeling alone. It's a way of life. And it will affect every choice you make. If you go into 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about all these different things that you can do. You can actually minister and you can do all kinds of everything. But if it doesn't have love, what is that? That's the heart part of it, right? That takes it from a work, a slavery work, to a passionate expression of love in return. Does that make sense? Because there is no kingdom with out kingdom ways. But how do you actually get to that? And Jesus came to give it to us. Right? And he gives it to us in a love. But man, there needs to be this real skepticism of my perception of love that I already have. Does that sound right? That I need to know that I'm going to have to find out more. I'm going to have to yield to this more. It's going to have to touch other parts of my life, because what God wants to do is to become involved in every part of your life. Amen? In your job, in your leisure time, in your relationships, in your passion for other people, right? In your politics. If we're involved in something, he said, I have a thought about that. And included in that thought is going to be love, right? So, it's the secret ingredient, Matthew 22, 37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. What's he doing? He's saying, what is the greatest commandment? He's being asked that, right? He said, well, this is what it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What does that mean? The different parts of you, right? And the different parts of you are going to have all kinds of things that they encounter. Is that right? Your soul, we sang about your soul. Let go of my soul and trust in him. Well, our soul is very affected by circumstances. He says, I want to be a part of that. I have something for you. I have a way for you. Your soul can be comforted. You know, Pastor Kim was so good at saying there's a way for this, right? And that's what God's going to bring. He's going to bring a love. But man, we can't put it into a category that we know already and say that's God. Not completely at all. It's going to have to be something that's higher. So that means I'm going to have to seek it. It's a kingdom seeking. Amen? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That means everything you're thinking about. Every thought, you take it captive. You say, okay, does it have love involved with it? If not, we put it in jail. Is that right? This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, in fact, he says, if you don't love your neighbor, you don't love God. Because love isn't something you just turn off or on. It becomes who you are. Is that right? The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So what is he saying there? He's saying all that stuff in the Old Testament, it had a purpose. It was establishing a kingdom. But it wasn't enough. If you don't have love, if you can't change the heart of somebody, you can't make them do something in a way that is God's will. You have to change their heart. And that's why Jesus came to be that word in us. It's a change of heart. It's a revelation. It's love. Amen? Okay. Let's go to 1 John 2. Man, what does John like to talk about all the time? He was the lover boy. All right. With his way, our kingdom and his kingdom. As for you, keep in your hearts what you have heard from the beginning. What is that from the beginning stuff? I believe it has to do with love. Amen? He says, but you're going to have to keep it in your heart. You're going to have to seek it. I don't think we have to be anxious about it, but we need to be persistent with it. Amen? Intentional. My wife wants to say intentional. If what you heard from the first dwells and remains in you, then you will dwell in the Son. Isn't this interesting? It makes the connection between this commandment and the King. It said you don't get to live in the King if you're not doing what he's saying. So the ways here are essential. We're going to have to say, God, your ways become something that I don't need. I want to seek, first of all, so that when I find them, as soon as I find them, I can begin to conform to them because I love you. All right? He says, as a result, you'll get to live with me and the Father. Is that right? Always. And this is what he himself has promised us, the life, the eternal life. Huh. What is life? Jesus came to give us life, life, abundant life. Is there any part of that that's left out? No, he said, every part of your life I want to be a part of. Amen? So I like this because there's this last verse, I love it, talks about living and moving and breathing in the kingdom. What's that going to take? It's going to take us actually seeking the King first of all. Oh man, we're gonna sing a little bit, and I just want you to join in with us. Let's don't let this moment pass us by as an opportunity to go where he's beckoning us to go in his kingdom, to be a part of it. It says, for in him we live and move and exist. Some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. And this is what changes in Christ. We go from being set apart, from being somebody that's trying to get in, to not only in his presence, but his child in his presence. That means we're princes, we're kings. Changes your identity. When you change your identity, it changes your connection to the King. It's a lot different to have a police officer that you know down the street and a police officer that's your dad. You know, I don't know if that was a good correlation or not, but definitely somebody that's a king. You know, if you just a pauper, just somebody serving. But as soon as you become a child of the King, man, it's going to actually require you to change how you act. You can't act the same way anymore. Is that right? And I love this, that Jesus started talking about his Father. Not just a God's off somewhere. But this kingdom that he's come to give us is one that we enter into by becoming a part of his family. Amen.